Hi, can I speak to Mr. Richard Rector, please?
Yeah, this is Dean.
Sir, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I understand that you want to take part in the pardon hearing for Mr. Overton. Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I just cut off. Say that again?
This is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I understand that you wanted to participate in the pardon hearing for Mr. Edmund Overton.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Yes, sir, yes.
Yes, did you want
to?
Yes, sir, I can hear you. I'm trying to understand. Did you want to participate in the hearing, sir?
Yeah.
It's coming out.
Bad connections.
Bad, very bad.
Mr. Rector, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, we just have a bad connection, sir. I'm going to hang up and try to call you back and see if I can get a better connection, okay?
Okay.
Sir, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. I understand that you wanted to participate in the pardon here for Mr. Edmund Overton.
Yeah.
Okay. Sir, if you would just hold on, I have to make one more phone call, then we're going to start the hearing. So just hold on, sir. I'm going to connect with one more person, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
That's fine.
Speak to Mr. Kurt Pogoloff, please.
You got the wrong number.
Okay, thank you. That's your dollar on the
phone. Oh, okay.
Mr. Rector?
Yep.
Okay, hold on, sir. I'm still trying to connect one more person. Participated in a pardon hearing for Mr. Overton?
That's correct.
Okay, sir, could you just hold on for a minute? We're about to start.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Rector, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Mr. Overton, you still there?
Oh,
Mr. Pogoloff?
Here.
Yes, I am.
Okay, sir, thank you. So we're ready to start the hearing now. What I'm going to ask you to do, if you would just, there's two of you on the line, if you would just stand by on the line, sir, and then we will get to you for any comments that you would like to make at the appropriate time, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Okay, this is a pardon hearing for Mr. Edmund Overton. Mr. Overton does not have a ADC number because he's not been incarcerated. Is that right, sir?
That's correct.
Okay, sir, thank you. This is according to the application, Mr. Edmonton works, sir, and if you can correct me on any of this information, if this not true, Mr. Edmund worked from August 25th of 1997 through January 8, 2001. He was employed as the president of First Wave Incorporated of Scottsdale, Arizona. During his tenure at First Wave, the company was growing rapidly and he was often short of cash, and as a result, he spent significant time raising capital. He had to often loan the company money. At one point, the company owed him over $100,000. He was reimbursed for those expenses through his expense reports, which contained complete detail of every expense that he had advanced. Many of the often being paid using his personal credit card as the company collected its accounts receivable. He was reimbursed. Sometime in late 2000, they realized that he had mistakenly been overpaid reimbursement, and he had to pay back about $10,000 more than the company had loaned him, than he had loaned the company. There were several instances where his credit card had been authorized, but not charged, yet he had been reimbursed. Nevertheless, he actually made an agreement and went to court with one of the owners, and they made arrangements for a settlement. However, the owner reneged on the settlement and instead filed a civil suit in court to try to collect the money. Subsequently, as a result, Mr. Edmund pled guilty to a Class 5 felony for a theft in the amount of $1,200. It looks like in March of 2008, the court signed an order vacating the conviction and setting aside judgment of guilty. It does have an attached minute entry that's gone along with that. It says that his reason for seeking a pardon is that he applied to be licensed as a mortgage loan originator in Arizona and became a licensed owner of mortgages in August of 2010. He plans to do business in Georgia, and the state of Georgia prohibits companies that employ convicted felons. Said that Georgia will allow employees whose felonies have been pardoned to be involved, so he's seeking a pardon to broaden his employment opportunities according to. So is any of that not correct?
I'm not trying to do business myself
okay.
in Georgia, but the company that I work for does business in Georgia.
Okay.
If any of their, they don't allow licensed mortgage loan originators to be employed by national companies.
Okay.
If they have a felony conviction set aside, that doesn't matter. It has to be pardoned in order to be licensed in that instance. So it's the company.
Okay, so because of the company that you're working for currently, they do business with other states like Georgia, and some states will not allow a convicted felon to work for the company if they have a convicted felony, or however they will accept
just,
a pardon.
Just one state.
Just the Georgia. One state, Georgia. Georgia. Okay.
Yeah. That's true. The top 25 or so mortgage banks and mortgage brokers in the country are national,
uh-huh.
and that's true with any of them. This
okay.
has been a fairly recent thing that's come out of audits by the Georgia equivalent of the Department of Financial Institutions. And so what they do is they check the background of every licensed originator that the company has in all states, and if any of them has a felony conviction, that person has to, the company gets fined, and that person is not allowed to originate loans.
Okay, so but you can originate loans in other states with the exception of Georgia?
I can't. if I work with a company that does business in Arizona. So, for example, right now, I'm a licensed loan originator in Arizona.
Yes.
But my license is inactive because my current company is not allowed to sponsor me. That's true with anybody in my situation across the country.
Okay, can you just elaborate on that a little bit more, sir?
Yeah.
It's hard to understand.
Yes, if you could just explain that.
Sure. Let me back up a little bit. I'd say the top 25 or so national companies that are mortgage banks or mortgage brokers, and these are companies that are considered to be state licensed. So there are companies like Home Point Financial, my employer, Guaranteed Rate, Fairway Independent. I'm trying to think of some companies that you might be aware of. Prime Lending, Caliber Home Loans, companies like that. They're national companies. Even OnQ Financial is a local company that has operations in Georgia. Anyway, Georgia prohibits companies that employ convicted felons from being licensed. It prohibits the company from being licensed in Georgia. Even if the employees do not originate mortgage loans in Georgia, and even if the individual has a conviction has been set aside, the only way they can allow that person to be licensed is if their felony conviction is pardoned. And that's really the purpose of my appearance here today.
So
it's probably not constitutional, but no one has ever, to be able to have a state law that's that far-reaching, but no one has tested it yet. And I'm aware that it's been in place at least since 2011.
So basically, the company that you're working for now, that you cannot work with that company because they do work with Georgia. And because they do work with Georgia, and Georgia will not allow a person who is a convicted felon to participate in doing business with them.
As a licensed loan originator. So that's why I'm right now, I'm just in a sales management position. So I'm not allowed to originate loans, which is means that I can't sign a loan application. I can't discuss interest rates with borrowers and stuff like that. So it's very limiting. It's what I've done since 2004.
Okay, but you can do that, and I'm trying to understand. Georgia is the only state who has that, but
correct.
You can actually do it with any other state?
No.
With the exception of Georgia?
No, I can't do it with any state as long as I work for a company that does business in Georgia.
So it's Georgia controlling everybody.
Okay.
Right. You can go to work for a different company.
I could go to work for a small company that's not national.
Yeah, that's local.
And I could be licensed through a loan originator in Arizona.
So does all the major companies do business with Georgia?
Most of them do now. I mean, the trend is for, you know, efficiency and large-scale operations. Mm-hmm. And people, whether they have retail operations or just a phone room, which is called Consumer Direct, most large companies now do business with Georgia.
Sir, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
May I ask a question? Sir, what exactly does your company do? I'm a little lost here. You know, not being in finance, and I look at all of the companies that you've been associated with over the years, so exactly what do they do? Do you originate mortgages?
Yes, what do you do? Since 2004, I've been a residential mortgage lender. I think we work with five companies.
Okay. Now, you said that, Mike, I'm just trying to make sure that I understand. You said there might be some companies that we might have, might recognize the name. Can you think of any that the average person might recognize?
I was trying to come up with some. Let's see.
I'm just trying to figure out what we're doing.
Well, let me tell you something that wouldn't. Are you familiar with Nova Home Loans?
I'm not in finance.
I'll tell you some others that it's not an issue for banks, because those aren't state licensed lenders. Those are FDIC licensed. So I could go to Wells Fargo,
Bank of America,
or anything like that, be a mortgage loan originator. However, I've been working pretty hard at this since 2004 and have developed an expertise in conventional lending, and really the banks are not the place to do something like that. The large firms allow people to do, like myself, to do complicated transactions through, you know, complicated tax returns, self-employed individuals, stuff like that. It's the kind of thing that doesn't really get done at retail banks like Wells Fargo or Bank of America.
Okay, I apologize for my being so naive with this, but one reason that I'm concerned about this, and I'm just going to be honest with you, I just less than a month ago, and I don't believe it's the same thing. I don't think, I'm not comparing apples with apples here, but I had a very good friend of mine who was a CPA and had his master's from Thunderbird and other degree from up there in Utah, BYU. And something went wrong and he just committed suicide. And I'm trying to wonder what's going on here financially. And this is a person that's happened to be a good friend of mine. He's a good person as far as I knew. But all of a sudden something went wrong for some finances and I just can't figure it out. That's why I want to be make sure that we're cautious when we send something over to the governor on this one, because it's just something that I'm just not familiar with. That's why I'm asking if you can just kind of, with your permission, Mr. Chairman, just kind of familiarize us with what exactly what we're dealing with, sir.
Sure. So what I do is I help home buyers purchase homes. I provide mortgage financing. That's what I've done since 2004.
So if I want to purchase a home, I could come to you. Yep. I'm just using this as an example. If I want to purchase a home there, I would come to you, and what would you do for me, sir?
If I was licensed loan originator in Arizona, allowed by my company, I would talk to you. I would have a discussion, first of all, about your income and your liquid assets. I would run your credit, you know, a consumer credit report.
Right.
And that's the basis for the, what we call the credit qualification. That qualifies you as the borrower for a mortgage. And the other part of the qualification, of course, is the property, and that's based on appraisal. But typically, if you're going to buy a home, you come to me or somebody like me in advance, you get pre-qualified, you go out with a realtor, and then you purchase the home, and you put in escrow and get the financing through a company like mine.
I'm just trying to make sure I understand, then I'll be quiet now. But, okay, so why would I come to you? Why would I go to Bank of America, why would I go to Churchill or some of these other things that you see on television? What would be the advantage of my coming to you, sir, over some of these larger, well, I won't say larger, some of the more recognizable names who cheat people, out there?
Sure, it's a referral business. And so maybe your realtor might say, Mr. Ryan, you should talk to Ted Overton. He does a very good job. I know we'll close on time in 30 days. His rates are as competitive as anyone. And we're a large company, first of all. A company does $1 billion in loans a month. So we're probably in the top 15 right now, or top 20 anyway. And the company wants to get bigger. That's one reason they're far-flung nationally. And why you wouldn't go to a bank or something? Well, you certainly could, and a lot of people do, because if you take a look at, kind of distribution of people that do loans, the large banks still do a large percentage of the loans. Realtors don't like them because it's very difficult to get a transaction closed in 30 days, and that's something that we do routinely. And the reason we do it is because we're smaller operations wise and agile and able to do things quickly there's you could go to a credit union for that matter too. It's a highly competitive business because there's a certain commodity aspect to it, certainly. And so if the rates are approximately the same, you might as well go someplace that's smooth and efficient and comfortable for you. That's the reason.
Well, I'll just listen to my other colleagues for a while,
but I have a few questions. Okay, so what I'm going to do, Mr. Overton, I want to go back. I want to go back to when you were originally charged.
Yes.
And ask you to explain that, because in the report it says basically that you loaned the money company, you were reimbursed that money through a credit card. However, according to your statement, that there was $10,000 in overpayment that was made because of charges that were made to a credit that was approved for a credit card but not made. Can you explain that so that we have an understanding? How do you have charges to a credit card that's approved but not?
Well, I think the credit card authorization was used as, these are basically, I was over reimbursed on expense returns.
Okay.
So really that's kind of the basis for this, right?
Right.
And so what the support for that charge was an authorization rather than a credit card received. It wasn't proper.
So when you say an authorization, do you mean, I'm trying to understand what you said. I'm trying to understand that the credit card, you have an authorization for the credit card, but it was not actually charged. So what, can you explain that so I can have a, maybe we could have a better understanding?
Sure. What probably happened in that instance, and again, this is 18 years ago, but what I recall was that the credit card would be authorized, and then I think instead of being charged actually to the credit card, the bill was actually paid with a company check. They just used that as a kind of a backstop. They wanted to make sure that the vendor wanted to make sure that there was something besides a small company's promise to pay.
Okay, so how did your, was it your personal credit card?
Yes.
To the company?
No, it was my personal credit card.
So how did your personal credit card get overcharged the $10,000 if they paid a check? The company would have reimbursed you with the check?
And it wasn't, that was one instance. And then there was another one where I think I was reimbursed twice for the same invoice. So there was a couple things like that. And so, and the actual charge was for $1,200. And I don't know, I don't remember which one that was. But what happened was I submitted an expense report and got reimbursed for the company. And in fact, that wasn't a valid expense.
Okay. So, and according to the majority stockholder in the company, those overpayments caused that company collapse.
That's what he said.
What's your opinion? Did it cause the company to?
No, I don't think so. But no, the company was, you know, I think I raised $3 million over a period of 3.5 years when I was there in basically an equity and debt financing, and what caused the company to collapse was never took off. It was a startup that never took off.
And it was the major stockholder who filed the charges.
Correct.
And his reasoning was that as a result of that caused the company to collapse.
That was his conclusion. Yes.
Okay. And you took a plea agreement on that case, sir?
Yes.
Okay, and I noticed that you said in the statement, I'm just going to read, it says the plea agreement stipulated that you were to pay restitution to the victim. How much restitution did you have to pay to the company?
Well, the company was paid in full in connection with the civil lawsuit.
Right, so did you know what that amount was?
It was something like $20,000 or $30,000. There was all kinds of legal fees in there and everything too.
Okay, that was paid back to the company?
Yes.
And so the actual
And then the criminal proceedings came way after that, 3 years later or something.
Okay. So you did a plea agreement with the court as a result of it, is that right, sir?
Yes.
And with the plea agreement, like you stated that there was it was a $1,200.
Correct. That was the count that I pled guilty to.
Okay, and so you pled guilty to a count of $1,200. And according to the information that we have, it says that you was also charged with count one, theft of class 5 felonies, count 2, 3. And 4 theft class 3 felonies, but per the plea agreement, those charges were dismissed as a result of the plea agreement.
I never saw those other charges, I don't know. Would that be a difference in dollar amount? Is that why that would be?
No, it's a difference in the charges. There were there was a total of 5 counts that were counts that you were actually charged with. And as a result of a plea agreement, you only pled to...
To one.
To one.
Class 5 felony for theft.
To one class 5 felony.
I don't know if I even ever saw those others, to be honest with you. It was handled by my attorney.
Okay, so... So there's a plea agreement that you actually signed, which I'm looking at. It says it counts. Says it counts 1 through 4. The following charges were dismissed. If not yet filed, shall not be brought against the defendant. And which those were the other counts that were there. And that count 5. Definitely class 5 felony was committed between August 12th and 16th of 1999, and that's the one that you were actually charged with. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, so there were 5 counts, and as a result of the plea agreement, 4 of those counts were dismissed, and one of those counts you were actually charged with.
That's correct, and I don't even remember the plea agreement. I never got a copy of that, so...
Okay, but in order to do a plea agreement, and even if your attorney had it, you would have had to go through it and sign it.
Sure.
And the judge would have talked about it.
I know I signed that.
Yeah.
But I know I pleaded guilty to one count.
Mm-hmm. And so, is John Glentos?
Correct. He was the CEO of the
company. And he was alleging that you had stole more than $130,000 from the business?
That's what he said, yes.
Okay.
That was not correct. But that's what he said.
And you did do have attached here a minute entry from the court. Dated March 27th of 2008, I think this is, where there was a judgment, a set-aside judgment of guilt, dismissing the complaint filed against the defendant and releasing the defendant from all penalties and disabilities resulting from his conviction. Is that?
Correct. It was set aside March 2008.
Right.
Up until the state of Georgia, I never had any trouble being a licensed loan originator in Arizona because of the expungement, I believe. I was able to get licensed in Arizona. Mm-hmm. No problem.
Okay, so as far as the plea agreement goes, there's also, you were put on probation. How long were you put on probation for that?
Well, I think, I don't know if there was a sentencing, pre-sentencing memo in there, but the person who reviewed it suggested no probation because I took a look at the situation. It was so complex, but I was put on probation for 3 years.
Okay.
And I think I was released early from that.
Okay.
Maybe after 2 or 1.5 years.
Did you do it 50 community hours?
Yes.
Community service hours?
Yes.
Okay, so explain to this board, could you just kind of explain to this board again why you feel that you should be pardoned?
Sure. The purpose of my request for pardon is so that I can become a licensed loan originator in Arizona, be sponsored by the current company I'm with, which is much like any of the other large companies in this marketplace, so that I can be sponsored and knew what I've been doing since 2004, rather than just being a sales manager, which is all that I can do now, technically. If I was able to get pardoned, then I would be able to, then I could be sponsored through the nationwide mortgage licensing system, which is similar to the securities licensing system. That's how they keep track of people, but they keep track of all the state sponsorships in that database. And if I'm able to get pardoned, then I will be able to get sponsored through my company and then do business.
Okay.
As a licensed mortgage loan originator.
Okay, so I do want to just say for the record that there are several letters of support for you attached to this, all talking about your honesty and good character. I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions. Ms. Rittenhouse.
The only question I have, thank you, Mr. Johnson, for you, Mr. Overton, is you mentioned there was a civil trial or civil case.
There was a civil lawsuit.
Right, and so the party was reimbursed at that
fully,
point.
Fully, yes.
So why, when you said the criminal thing came a few years later, mm-hmm. why would he have pressed that?
Well, I think the owner of the company was very bitter and mad, and he originally went to the attorney general, who said, no, there's no basis for a lawsuit here, but for criminal proceedings, but then he went to some and found someone at the county that was able to file it.
That would take it.
Yeah, and they took it.
Interesting.
He was pretty upset.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Kenyanis.
Yes, I had a follow-up to that, and I think you may have already answered it, but there is the business of, I guess, the owner of the failed business claiming that you defrauded the company of $130,000. There was a civil case, and what was settled was not $130,000. You said it was a much lower amount than that.
You know, I think it was negotiated. I don't even remember. It had a tremendous list of charges that many of which weren't correct, and it had something like $70,000 or $80,000 in attorney and accountant fees that were in like a month or two time. So I'm pretty sure it was quite a bit less than that.
Okay, so criminal charges are pursued. It ends up to you pleading to. I'm not sure what the exact charge is, if it's theft or $1,200
yes.
or fraud.
It was theft.
Theft, okay. Aside from anger or vengeance, and I'm not trying to play a defense attorney here either, but aside from emotions, I guess is what I'm getting at, what did this individual gain by pursuing criminal charges against you? The reason why I'm asking is it was like, did it benefit his company?
No, his company was already had filed for bankruptcy protection. In fact, it was a full liquidation before the criminal proceedings went through. I think he just was very upset and tried to go after me and was successful.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I was very surprised when I first heard about it because I thought it had been settled.
I guess it gives me some understanding, and I had been part of a small business for a while that didn't do well, didn't end this way. It was a startup that just didn't take off, and I have some understanding on that end. But it does remind me as to why these sort of cases get so complicated and how they end up with so much in legal fees and accounting fees. And I'm just saying this as a statement. This stuff can get pretty complicated. And thank you for being so candid with the board.
It was highly complicated. I mean, the expense reports were, you know, hundreds of line items and stuff like that. So, but I pleaded guilty because I was over reimbursed, and I thought it was I think I wrote in my statement that I didn't have the money to go for a trial, but I also think it was probably the right thing to do anyway. Although I think it's unusual for someone to try to sue for that.
Well, actually, one quick follow-up, and that is that, again, prior to the Georgia having such a huge hand in this business. Business was going well for you up to that point,
sure.
As far as what you were able to do when Georgia changed the
What changed was me joining a company that did business in Georgia. And the company also, Home Point, my current company, Home Point Financial, also had an audit in the maybe the second quarter of this year that, and the state of Georgia reviewed every licensed originator in the country and found out that some of them had been convicted of felonies that weren't pardoned, and they were fined $5,000 for each one of those people, and were those people had to quit originating loans also. I mean, there's several people in my company that are in a similar situation, and I'm sure it's, you know, there's many across the country.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, are there any additional questions? Okay, Mr. Overton, I am going to go to some of the supporters you have on the phone. Mr. Rector? Mr. Rector?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, sir, is there any information that you want to present to the board at this time, sir?
Well, I just wanted to, I've been in the real estate business like 43 years now, and, you know, as Ted was explaining, you know, what he does, he has helped a number of my clients, and mostly with very complicated situations where someone who is self-employed or owns a business, sometimes they don't have a, you know, they don't have a W-2 income. They have income from their company and that kind of thing. And so Ted has been able to navigate, you know, tax returns and things like that to help those people get mortgages. And, you know, he's done a very good job for me, and I you know, highly recommend him. He's very smart. And to me, you know, he's been just, you know, somebody who I always turn to with clients who have difficult mortgage situations.
Okay. All right. Does the board have any questions for Mr. Director? Okay, so if you want to remain on the line, you can remain on the line. I'm going to go to another supporter that's on the line at this time, sir. Mr. Pogoloff. Right. Mr. Pogoloff?
Yes, this is Kurt Pogoloff.
Okay, sir, is there something you'd like to tell the board at this time, sir?
Absolutely. Evan Overton has worked under my supervision the last 6 months. I've known Evan for over 10 years. And working with him side by side in various companies throughout the 10 plus years, he's been, in my opinion, in mortgage lending is steeped with unscrupulous characters, as everyone knows. He's been a stand-up individual, credible with compliance, looking out of the company's best interest and the client's best interest at all times, and he's probably one of the more compliance-savvy individuals I've worked with in the last 10 years. And when I learned of his expungement, I was saddened because he's such a credible individual, helping me with the audit and compliance with state regulatory bodies of Arizona. It's been phenomenal. I used to be the responsible individual adjusting a broker for my former company, and when I came over here, I was asked to assist at the audit because my location is kind of the main office for Home Point Financial in Arizona, and Edmund was very compliant and assisting with preparation for the audit. You know, he has many employers who would love the opportunity to engage him as an employee. Home Point Financial has a 49-state footprint, and the state of Georgia, through the National Mortgage Registry, has, you know, can monitor the employees that don't even do business in the state of Arizona, or excuse me, of Georgia. And through that monitoring has come through the process of audit out of our main office and said that regardless of Evan's ability to originate loans in other states, we don't feel the expungement is sufficient enough, and because Home Point Financial, you as a company, do business in the state of Georgia, we're going to take that opportunity to regulate your activities in other states and other markets throughout the United States. And I've come forth and said, we don't view an expungement as credible evidence of forgiveness, because it isn't, but if your employees can get a pardon, we'll deem your company compliant with the state of Georgia, and you can sponsor Edmund Overton and several other of your employees. If he's granted the opportunity to pardon, it would increase his employment opportunities and up and expand his career development as far as he wants to go.
Okay. All right, thank you, Mr. Povilov. You can remain on the line as we continue the hearing at this time, sir. We're going to go to, does any of the board have any questions for Mr. Povilov? There are no questions coming from Mr. Povilov. Mr. Overton, we're going to come back to you at this time, sir. The board's going to go into discussion after we complete the discussion with you. At that time, we'll be making a decision whether to... And if you recognize and understand, this board has no authority to grant pardons. Only the governor can grant a pardon. Our decision would be as to whether we would recommend to the governor for a pardon. So we would have to recommend it to the governor. We either recommend it or not recommend it to the governor, sir. So prior to the board going into discussing, Mr. Overton, is there anything else you'd like to say to this board without repeating yourself, sir?
No, thank you very much for the opportunity. I just wanted to make sure that you understand the situation. And it's not really just Home Point Financial. It's the top 25 or so mortgage banking and mortgage brokerage firms in the country.
Okay, thank you. The board is now going into a discussion at this time. Mr. Overton, you can go ahead and have a seat. This is kind of a complicated situation, however, Mr. Overton, according to the information that we have, actually did take a plea agreement where he was really originally charged with 5 counts of theft. He's charged with counts 1 and 5, that's class 1. Class 5 misdemeanors, counts 2, 3, and 4, they were class 3 felonies. The other one was class 5, class 5 felony. And as a result of the plea agreement, and I'm only going by the plea agreement that we have, as a result of the plea agreement, then the other 3 charges that were class 3 felonies were dismissed at the time. He was also sentenced to probation as a result of dismissing those. He did go, as we see many times, get an order from the court after the time's been done to have those actually dismissed. He does have a long history of working. He does have several letters attached that says Mr. Overton is honest, and which I'm not suggesting I'm going against his credibility, but according to the information that we have, the owner of the company that he previously worked for stated that as a result of Mr. Overton, he owed the company $130,000 as a result of the errors in the accounting. It caused his business to collapse. I'm not sure what was there, because I don't know enough information about what it is. According to Mr. Overton, he had some charges that was on a credit card that basically the credit card was charged, but the company reimbursed it. And there was at least one incident that he states that there was over $10,000 that was overcharged, and there was a civil action taken, and all of those things were taken care of as a matter of the civil action that was actually taking place. So I think those things were all taken care of. I do know that in order to, at least my understanding, to send a pardon over to the governor's office, or to recommend a pardon to the governor's office, there has to be extenuating circumstances. This is a circumstance where, you know, he does have a right to do those loans here in the state of Arizona and other states as a result of what happened in Georgia that has caused him the complication and the need to apply for a pardon at this time. However, because of the plea agreement and that there was a felony charge that he pled to, and there were four other charges that were dismissed as a result of the actual plea agreement, and it is a complicated case. That's why I'm just going by, you know, what we actually have here. I don't think there's enough information in here, enough extenuating information in here to recommend a pardon to the governor based on that information and based on the plea agreement and the information that we actually have before us. However, I am willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues at this time, Ms. Rittenhouse.
Mr. Johnson, the only thing that bothers me about this is that we have one state imposing its will on all the other states. And that bothers me. I mean, I'm not the governor, but I wonder if the governor would be considering that.
Yeah, I do understand that. It's almost the same thing we have with Las Vegas, with Nevada, and the gun rights in some states.
Yeah, good point.
You know, if you want to do business in there, you know, they do that. And
I guess Mr. Overton could go work somewhere else, but you know.
My only concern, because I'm not a financial person and really into the financial end of it, I'm going to you know, focus on the actual act of the plea agreement and the charges that was filed, the civil suit that was filed, that there was some action taken, some money paid back as a result. And you know, when you start talking about these lending companies and people out there, that's there, and even a pardon is not going to erase that information out there. And then I'm not sure that there's any guarantee that if the state of Georgia even decides that the pardon would be sufficient. Although that's based on the information that we have here. So
it's in the Georgia statute.
Okay. Anybody else, Mr. Quinones?
Oh, I was just going to say, in general, you know, white-collar crimes can destroy lives and economies in different ways. Certainly, I think we're looking at an individual who's a good story is to the end product of rehabilitation. He faced the criminal justice system. Received a lenient sentence, went on to be a productive individual. I guess the issue I have is, you know, whether or not this rises to a level to recommend a pardon, and I'm not seeing it. But it's certainly not to be cold. Yeah. It's just, we got to make some tough decisions.
Any other member have any?
I concur. I think that, you know, I do commend Mr. Overton for his for the work that he's done and the institutions that he attended. He received his degree, University of Wisconsin at Madison, which was a great university, and the master's degree from Northwestern University, another great institution. I just don't feel, this is just as one board member, I'm not speaking on behalf of the board, I just don't see enough information to submit to the governor. I think if we had a little more information, I would feel more comfortable, and I just don't quite see that we have enough at this time. And that's all I'm going to say, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, it's, I understand some of the financial aspects and loan originators. I did a refinance through J.G. Whitworth, but the broker down in Florida, the mortgage broker, man, they would be doing what he wants to do. It was down in Florida, you know, all done on the telephone. And I don't know whether I electronically signed that or whether they had, I think they still have to have an notary come out and sign something. Anyway, one of the things that bothers me about the case is the dollar amounts, but I understand the counts that were class three were just an instance that was a larger amount. the theft, all the thefts in this state are broken down by dollar amount, so that's why he had class threes and class fives and stuff. But I agree with Dr. Wright that in this state, a pardon is a big deal. And it's usually done under exceptional circumstances. And it just takes, I don't know, to me it takes something, it's something that, the bar is way up there. And that's, most of the time in this state, two pardons, you don't do what people want to do anyway, because they don't expunge the record. So I just don't see the star in the sky that hangs over it to move it forward.
I know this is a difficult case. It has like a lot of good discussion in there, and I see that even with our board members, we're trying to get out of there. None of us are financial people looking at this entire situation, but I don't think that this rises to the level to recommend to the governor for pardon. So I am going to make a motion at this time to not recommend Mr. Overton for a pardon to the governor.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, Mr. Overton, the board, and you could hear the discussion that was going on, sir, but the board has made a motion and voted and recommended unanimously to not recommend the pardon to the governor's office, sir. I do want to take the opportunity to thank you for coming down, and also, like Dr. Rice said, we want to commend you for the things that you have done and continue to be doing, and all the good work that you're actually doing in there. And I want to give you a special thanks, sir, for taking the opportunity and time to come down and appear before this board. And you have been here all day, literally all day, to appear here before the board. I want to say to Mr. Richter and Mr. Pogolov that's on the line, that's going to conclude our hearing at this time. And we thank you for participating in the hearing. Thank you. That's going to conclude the hearing.
Thank you.